probably pretty familiar with this, maybe not. I don't want to assume anything. I'm going to read it and go from there. Starting 23. Now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, Why are you fearful, you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, Who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? I'm going to stop there. And I just find it interesting how the Lord was at complete peace through going through this storm. And later on, you'll see, I think, in a lot of our spiritual walks, there's storms before God moves. You know, the enemy doesn't want to see it. He wants to shake us up. And he wants to cause opposition. He wants to cause fear. He wants to cause doubt. This can't be God, because it's not going smoothly. And you can see here this huge sea. Everyone's concerned, you know, maybe even wanting to turn back or around, whatever the case may be. You know, they're thinking they're dead. They're gone. And the Lord, he just says, you know, you have little faith, and he calms the sea. And I think that's just, because nothing, if God is leading, is going to disturb anything. And I think Jesus knew that. You know, he knew that. He was God, so I'm sure he was confident in that. But to probably shake the faith of those that were with him, and to get them to doubt, and who knows what other else. And so I would just encourage, so when that happens, the press in, push on. Even if your emotions aren't lining up to, you know, is this God, just rest on knowing if it is God, regardless of what you're feeling or experiencing, not to lean on that. But when you feel that leading and you know it's God, stick to that, go back to that, because you might be experiencing some storms and going over this boat. And you might be feeling that you were sinking. And it just took, you just have to cry out. You got to cry out to God to calm the seas, to get you through that. And to don't give up. Keep pushing, press on, you know. Don't give up when the opposition is against you. And going into that, so where do they go? And starting on 28. When he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, What have we to do with you, Jesus, the Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? Now a good way off from them there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, If you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said to them, Go. So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine. And suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place in the sea and perished in the water. Then those who kept them fled, and they went away into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed man. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region. And in the Gospel of Mark, it's a lot longer, which was interesting, because the account is actually only talking about one man there. And I don't think that's really the big... I don't think that's very significant either. And I've heard a long time ago, and it, for some reason this portion of scripture was coming to my mind as I was just praying and meditating and asking God. And I actually heard this different than what I'm actually going to point out. I don't want to go on just what man had taught. You know, I want to ask God for my, you know, what does this mean to me? And some say, you know, it's because they were Jews, they shouldn't have been because of the Levitical law, be raising these pigs, you know, and I don't think that's really that important. Whether they were Jews or not Jews, you know, God said not to eat this pork. But I think it goes deeper than that. And I think, you know, these demons were asking for permission to go into the swine. And they can't inhabit anything without God giving them permission. And so why did God, Jesus, give them permission to go into the swine? You know, I had to scratch my head on this. And I think it has to do with 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evils. We're all very familiar with that. We've got a term there. But I believe he allowed, you know, it was like God to get shooting a bird, you know, two birds, one stone kind of thing. You know, he uses even the enemy's tactics to break someone from their heart's issues. And this, I believe, was had to do with their finances, their money. You know, God, he did a great miracle. He freed these demon-possessed men that were being tormented. In the other portion of scripture, I mean, they're cutting themselves with rocks. You know, put yourself in that position or put yourself in that place where that person is a loved one of yours and they're being tormented. And he casts them and throws them to swine. You know, this is their livelihood, you know, whatever. This is how they're making money, whatever, this group of people, regardless if they're Jew or Gentiles. You know, I don't believe that's very even that significant as much as it is as God allowed it. And he allowed them to suffer loss by doing that because they ran violently down into the sea and they drowned. And as I'm scratching my head, I'm wondering, and after they were like, you get out, they begged to leave our region. You know, then I'm scratching my head. Shouldn't they be like, wow, you saved this guy from being tormented?
Right, right.
But no, that wasn't the case. They were like, get out of here. You're costing us money. And you're seeing that all around today. And how that's happening now, and with people, and if it's costing them money, it's hurting their heart, you know. And it's like, what is the value of someone's life? Do we put a price on it? And these are questions that, as individuals, what is the value of life, you know? And I think Jesus is showing this as an example to him. He doesn't put a number on it, you know. Even the worst of the worst, this demon-possessed man, and that cost this town, this livelihood, their economics, whatever, went down because he decided to free this demon-possessed man. And how does that relate today? And I just want to go, and I want to talk about something I've seen on Facebook, and it was a news feed. It was an interview with this town in Ohio, where the town official Dan P. Nard, or his name's not really important, but he was speaking out about the drug overdoses and how they're fed up. It's costing them all this money. And they actually are coming to an agreement to where they're not gonna give Narcan to bring people back to life anymore. And I was hearing comments, you know, an old friend that I've been friends with, he posted that, and I don't know if he's struggling now or did or what the deal was. But when I seen that, and I was like, wow, that's interesting. But what hurt me was the comments that I was reading. Yeah, they should die, you know, and this and that, and they were going on. And, you know, in our mess, you know, we have to see beyond the physical. You know, when we see in destruction, we have to be able to see the puppet that's orchestrating all this stuff, the enemy himself, you know. And in Ephesians 6:12, before, you know, it's turning there, but for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness. And so I've been I've been praying, you know, for God to, when I see something, and naturally we want to see it in the physical, I'm asking God to push me past and see it in the spiritual. And it's been blowing me away. It really has. It really helps me see into what's really happening in the spiritual. And I just grabbed a few more statistics with just abortions. You know, we're all very familiar with the abortions. But before I go on that, I just want to say the statistics with deaths per year is 64,000 a year from overdose. That's more than the Vietnam War combined. And 27,000 of them, not the 64, 27,000 were actually saved because they were given Narcan and brought back to life. And these officials and the sheriff of this town here, you know, so it's beginning, it's starting to where the value of life, it has a dollar amount, in which it always has, but we've kind of ignored it, we've kind of fluttered it up, but we see it, you know, with abortions and all these different things. But if it's starting to pull at the money heartstrings, people are getting mad. And I just wanted to bring that out. I don't know where y'all even stand, but I just don't feel that's okay. Because when you're going through it, there's such a pull, you know, and the enemy just wants people dead. He doesn't care how he's gonna do it, and he knows if he pulls at the heartstring, the finances, he's gonna get people on board with him and cheering him on. And that's a scary place where it's going. So where does it stop? So that person that in these overdoses and people that are dying, usually it's people that have stopped for a while, and they go back, they slip up, you know, and then they do too much and they die, you know. And so it's people that don't want to be in tormented, like this man that was hiding in the caves cutting himself, you know. He's not enjoying this, you know, and I just know firsthand. And if you could talk to people and really get down to the depths of the heart, they're just in bondage, you know. Satan has ensnared them. And so just another thing, it was talking about 926,000 babies are aborted each year. That's a lot of babies that just don't even have a choice, you know. And it just brought up in my mind just now how God said, if you offend one of these little ones, it's better, you know, millstones tied around your neck. And I just always thought maybe that was talking about younger children, but he's offending little ones, and it's better than millstones. And why are people willing to do that? And it's Martin Luther King Jr. said, and before that, said 30% of black pregnancies, African American women, they're end in abortion. 30% of them don't even go through with it. So that was, you know, what's going on with this race, and why are they so oppressed, and why is the enemy got them, you know, and destroying that. And Martin Luther King, he says that African Americans can't win as long as they are willing to sacrifice the lives of their children for comfort and safety. And that's just kind of it right there, you know. At the end, it's for comfort and safety. And here in America, you know, comfort is what we believe will bring us peace, you know. But we know, and different recovery programs, you know, it's hardship is the pathway to peace, and it's not comfort the pathway to peace. You know, we believe also that money equals comfort. You know, we tie this money with comfort. The more money, the more comfort I'll be. And so if these people are gonna kind of take away because of welfare or whatever, let's build up a clinic so they get off their children, so we don't have to invest money in helping them out in that sense. And so So what's the price, what's the value of a human life? You know, and I don't think there is any. And I believe God was showing that. And this is something that was interesting. I didn't even know about it. When in 97, Oregon had become the first state in the nation to legalize physical assisted suicide. Washington, Vermont, and now California has to deal with people that are voluntarily, they're assisting them in killing themselves. And so just the value of life is diminishing. And you can see the puppet master, back to Ephesians 6:12. You know, what is it? Are we just wrestling with flesh and blood? Are we wrestling to try to have a better life, you know, and be more comfortable? All that could be true, but there's a bigger thing behind it. You know, we're wrestling with principalities and powers, these spiritual works of darkness that's trying to destroy humanity, and he's doing a fine job. And unless we stand up and to expose him for what he is and what he's doing, people might just continue to think this is okay and that the value of life is insignificant. So what do we do from there? A scripture I read from Peter. You know, who are we? You know, we're children. We're sons and daughters of the Most High, and with that identity, you know, with that title, 2:9 it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So what does that mean? What is all that? And what can we do? You know, we got all this stuff. We're seeing it. It's being exposed. But what do we do about it? Well, God has given us this position to help people to be reconciled with God. You know, there's a way for them to be able to enter into the presence of God, and that's through the blood of Jesus. And we have the responsibility and the privilege to guide them into that knowledge of, mm-hmm. There's a way out, you know. And the shame and guilt, I'm sure, that women are deal with after abortions, and the shame, and it's just the cycle, you know, that goes on, and how much ties to just drug abuse, you know. It's just all his tools and tactics to desensitize, to destroy and hurt and scar and stab your soul, to keep you further from wanting to enter into God's presence. But God, you know, he made a way through Jesus Christ to be able to enter into the Holy of Holies through the blood. Hallelujah. And 2 Timothy, I want to read, what's this last one? Okay. 2 Timothy 2:20-26. I want to read. You know, how do we deal with such people, you know? Because like in this news report, we're getting frustrated, you know, there are all these calls and everything. So just like, what do we do, you know? And what can we do? So verse 20. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. And another version also said, enduring evil, which I was pondering that. It was interesting. And humility, you know, why would you work with someone? Why would you press on? Why would you go that extra length? And knowing that they're still struggling, you know, and humility, correcting those who are in opposition. So they're against you, but you're correcting them. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, you know, this is the goal. So that God would grant them the repentance. This is why we correct. And it's saying, it's not turn or burn like you see on the streets, you know, and how do I back that up? And it's this right here. You know, he's saying do it in a gentle, yet they're against you. They're on the other side, they're opposition. But he's saying, but be gentle to all, and be patient and humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, you know, that's the goal. We want to see them come to a place of repentance. So we're gonna work, we're gonna push, keep correcting, pushing, but ultimately see their choice, you know. And how God, he's just been so long suffering to all of us, especially me. He's been so patient with me. And if we want to be like God, we need to take on these qualities, you know. We want to be these high priests. We have to push on with people, you know, and try our best not to get frustrated with that up. And so that they may know the truth. Hallelujah. You know, we don't want them to go to hell. You know, we love life, you know. It's not about filling our pockets with more. And it's not, you know, we don't want, and if that's the case, if we just say let them die, you know, and all these different circumstances I was saying, then we're saying there's no chance after that. But until God intervenes and said enough's enough and takes them out, you know, we have no place to say I give up on them, and they should just, why do you even bring them back? You know what I mean? And eternity is a long place. And that should just kindle in our hearts just an empathy and a care and a passion, knowing they just know not what they're doing. There's a puppet behind the scene, as it goes on in 26, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Did you catch that? You know, so that they come to their senses. Just, you push on, you correct. They might not get it, but you correct it. And you're doing it patiently, with humility, you know? You're just working with them. So that maybe they'll just come to their senses and experience repentance, and they will experience joy and peace, and the peace of God, you know? And that you would be able to experience that, them saying, oh, I get it. You know, and then you could say it was worth it. Because so they would escape the snare of the devil. You know, they have been taken captive by him to do his will. You know, these people, they're, a lot of what's going on is complete ignorance. And it's a delusion that Satan has just worked into the mind and the minds of society, you know, trying to dumb down and disvalue the value of life. And God, as we seen earlier in that, in Matthew 8, with the swine, this man, you know, I'm sure he was causing hectic. People, he said he would flip out. He'd seen a soul, you know, the worst of the worst, a demon-possessed man, and he had there wasn't a dollar amount on him. And I believe that's why he cast these demons that asked for permission. You know, they wanted to be in a encapsulated thing of flesh for whatever reason. That's been for a different, you know, prayer and asking about. But they wanted that, and he permitted it. You know, they had to seek that permission, because, I mean, God, if Jesus gave it to them. And I think that, you know, that's an illustration, an example of, it's not up to us to choose who deserves to live or die, or who deserves to be worth a dollar amount. You know, I think Jesus is showing that right now. I could care less about your pigs. It was probably just so easy. Sure. Our money! And Jesus is probably like, try to get what I'm trying to hit you here with, you know? These people are just free from demon possession. Mm-hmm. And you're now you're telling me to leave and flee your town because you lost whatever, some you just lost a lot of money there. I'm sure it's a lot of money. And I'm sure that hurt. But it's not worth the value of a soul. So I don't really have much sure we can talk and discuss, but that's just been my prayer is I wanna just go forth seeing that, like, where is the spiritualness in this and why is this happening? And God, help me to see into the spiritual realm. Not to be focused on the physical, you know, pointing at someone is because they are, it's just because they're lazy. You know what's going on in their mind, you know? You don't know the oppression they're dealing with or what's happening. You know, there is an enemy trying to destroy them in their perfect state as God would have intended and created them to be. In His presence would have been fullness of joy, you know, and obviously not needing to do this thing or do that thing or put this in their body or feel the need to discard their child because of their fear, because that's really what it goes to, is fear and the desire for wanting to be, you know, have that comfort. And that's what it comes down to, is fear. And where is all this coming from? The enemy. You know, that's the enemy. So always, you know, I'm going to practice that to see past the physical of, oh, they're just that. There's an enemy. We need to rise up and point him out. You know, we expose the enemy and his little hobbits or whatever. And pray for those and tell them there's an easier way and to go that mile and that suffer long with them, because that's what Christ did for us. You know, how long God walked with us until we get come to our senses, so we could hit a place of repentance, so we didn't have to be any more captive, you know, from the devil, like being chained in bondage, ultimately trying to destroy not our lives, but the lives around us and other generations. Because that's what he doesn't want to just curse the individual, he wants to send that curse down the chain. Destroy humanity. And so my prayer is that we would leave it up to God, you know, to be the one who gives and takes life in that situation. I believe that we're all believers, and I hope you all agree with me on that. But it's not for us to decide. Doing that, we're playing the Elohim, you know, as Paul been talking about the last few weeks. We're passing that judgment, thinking they don't deserve life, or my life is more valuable than, or whatever the case may be. Alright. Pray it out, and anyone have any other comments on that or discussion, feel free to. It's just gonna open it up. Maybe you have a thing you wanna talk about, or something to encourage us, or whatever it may be. Bring it out. All right, dear Heavenly Father, I just I thank you, God, that you are a good, loving God, and that you desire us to be like you, Father. I just thank you for the holy blood of Jesus that will allow us to love others the way you would have us to, God, and that we can point them to you as the great physician. We don't have to seek psychiatrics and those types of physicians, but you are that great physician, Father, that you give us that living holy water, Father. I just pray that we'd seek that, God, that we would buy into the lies that things of this world will satisfy, God. Help us to see into the spiritual, God. Help us to see the enemy's tactics in trying to destroy lives and our lives, God. And I pray that we would we'd go to war, God, that we would not be upset and angry at even the sinner, God, but the sin that would grieve us, God, that we would desire to want to see that soul at its intended state, Father, the way you would want and have it, God. I just pray for the rest of this week. I pray, God, that we would be able to see these things if they're happening. Help us to grow in our patience. And thank you for the work that you're doing in each and every one of us, Father. Lord, you know I'm not perfect, God, but I'm excited, Father, for you to come and to press on, even though when the enemy knocks me up and is telling me to lay down, Father. I thank you for the courage that you've been giving me to want to stand up and push on, Father, knowing that the blood of Jesus is more powerful than the tactics of the enemy. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Open discussion, I guess. We got some time here.